it's such an honor and a privilege for me to be speaking with you all this morning. I am a daughter of this house. I am a daughter of Word of Grace. So I have a message in my heart that I have for you all and for today. And I know that it's for today because Colin covered 45% of it. So let's just jump into it. I want to start with us just reminding ourselves of when did you come into the kingdom? For me, 9 years ago, I was on an exercise cycle. That doesn't happen very often. So it was a holy moment for me. So I consecrated it. So consecrating means to set apart. So all my exercise equipment is set apart. Okay. So I was on an exercise cycle. There was turmoil in my heart. I had to decide who will rule me, who will be my God. And I said, Jesus, if everything that I'm hearing about you is true, then come and reveal yourself to me. And in that moment, the manifest glory of God exploded in my room. And my eyes were shut, and I knew that if I opened my eyes, I would lose my sight. It was intense. So I fell on my face, and I said, God, I'm sorry for not trusting you, not believing you before, but from now onwards, you can have my life. And that moment, I knew that I was a daughter of the Most High. I knew that I entered the kingdom of God. I want you to remind yourself once, when did you know for sure that you were in the kingdom? It doesn't have to have happened so radically, dramatically. And I realize that this is not how usually people come into the kingdom. You know, there's a slow knowing and then suddenly you're like, hey, you know what? Jesus is Lord. I know that, you know. And when did that happen? That moment happen for you? And we come into the kingdom and then we start asking questions. What is this kingdom really like? And the disciples did the same thing. They asked Jesus, what is this kingdom of heaven like? And Jesus always responded in parables because, and he gave a purpose for this. Jesus said, because those who are hearing they do not listen, and seeing they do not understand. Okay, so it's because we need the Holy Spirit to illuminate the parables so that we can understand what the kingdom of God is like. So this morning, do you want to know a little more about the kingdom of God? I just want to just talk about one principle in the Bible that is a principle in the kingdom of God so that we are growing as sons and daughters of God, okay? So let us invite the Holy Spirit right now and say, God, I need you, Holy Spirit, to illuminate my heart so the eyes of my heart are open, okay? Lord Jesus, we invite you in this room. We thank you. Thank you for illumination. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open up our eyes right now, that you would bring clarity where there was no clarity, that you would bring conviction where there was no conviction, and you would bring commitment in a deeper covenantal relationship with heaven and with God in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most famous parables in the Bible is the parable of the prodigal son. And the parable of the prodigal son in the Bible, whenever there are multiple parables all talking about the same thing, it's because God wants to emphasize on it. So in Luke 15, if you want, you can turn in there right now. Luke 15, there are three parables. Do you remember what those are? The lost coin, the lost sheep, and the parable of the lost son, or as we call it, the prodigal son. Okay? The lost sheep, there are 100 sheep. And 99 are going one way and one is going another way. The shepherd leaves the 99 running after the one. And when he finds it, he puts it on his back and he comes back and celebrates with his friends. The same thing with the parable of the lost coin. The woman, out of 10 coins, she loses one coin. She puts lamps in her house, sweeps everything, and then she finds the coin and she goes out into the streets, tells all her friends and celebrates. And we all know the story of the wayward son in the parable of the prodigal son. He demands for the inheritance of his father while he is still alive. Think about it. When do you get your inheritance? After your parents pass away, the inheritance comes to you, right? The prodigal son demanded for his inheritance while his dad was still alive, and he ran away with it, and chasing after a good time, he went, spent it on all kinds of pleasures of the flesh. He spent it on prostitutes, gambling, and all other kinds of things. And then finally, he extinguished his inheritance. He burnt through it, and then he finally comes to himself, and he doesn't have anything to even eat. And then he realizes, my father's servants have it better than me. I am so much better off if I just go back to my father's house. I'll apologize, it'll be shameful, but at least I will not die. And that is when he comes to himself. And then with the intention of going and apologizing and recruiting himself as a servant of his own father, he goes back to the father. Now that's where we pick up the story. The father sees him while he is still a far way off. He goes running to the son and he embraces him. Imagine this prodigal son, he was working in a pigsty, so he probably smells like a pigsty, right? So he comes and the father embraces him, and that's where we'll pick up the story. From verse 22 onwards, he says, the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Now, I want to just realize that while the son is still filthy, okay, in the state that he just came to the father, this is just repentance, nothing else. Repentance means to turn back and go to the father, okay? Believe in your heart and declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and God raised him up from the dead. That's it, okay? Romans 8 talks about that. The father restored the son. His robe in the Bible represents righteousness. Okay, ring represents, the signet ring represents the authority of the father, and the shoes represents rights that we have as a son or a daughter of God. Okay, he restores his rights and his authority and his righteousness before he even cleaned up his act. Okay, and that is what the father, God, does with us. And then we go on. He says to the servants, bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. When you first came into the kingdom, how many of you felt celebrated by the Lord and by your brothers and sisters? Did you feel celebrated? Did people ask you, hey, tell me your story? You remember? Yeah? Tell me your story. How did you come to Christ? What happened? We'd love to know more about your journey, right? And then we start putting our hands to work. We understand the kingdom a little bit and say, okay, I'm going to come for setup. I hope everyone's registered for setup now. Okay, we say, I will read my Bible daily. I will tithe. I will be faithful. And we start building one thing on another and on another. And then we become a little less conspicuous, right? People don't notice us that much because we started doing things faithfully. Okay, when I first came to Christ and came to this church, I would get a call from Colin almost every week or every other week in the middle of the week. He'd say, so how's your studies, this, that? And then he would say, so how is your spiritual life? And I would be shocked. I didn't know what to say. I'd say, I started reading the book of Acts. It's pretty boring. People are all dying. I don't know what to say. that was my initial journey. But he would call me and catch up and, you know, ask me what's happening with my life. Joyce was another person. We would go on these prayer walks in Pune University. We would neither pray that much nor walk at all. We'd just go there, we'll stretch a little, and then we'd start chatting. But those chats have so built family into this house for me. You know, those were so precious for me because they grounded me in this house. So they're celebrating. There is that initial celebration. And then we kind of become inconspicuous, okay? You start being faithful, and I want to tell you all this. The Father expects fruitfulness from you. Just because you're not getting accolades from the Father or from the leadership of the church you go to doesn't mean that you're unseen in the Father's eyes. It's because when you mature, it means you're dependable, you're faithful, so nobody is checking up on you. That means the sign of maturity is that you can be left alone and trusted to do what is right without having to check up on you and, you know, say, you know, what's happening? How are you doing today? You know, hey, that was such a good job. But when people know that you always do a good job, they're not going to continuously keep telling you, hey, that's such a good job. Imagine if you did something that's very normal. You made breakfast for your family in the morning and they say, hey, you made breakfast for us today. That's such a good job. Okay, so I'm saying that when you grow, the sign of maturity is that you hear less accolades from people around you who've seen you mature. Okay? So what happens is, all the three parables, they end over here, that there is a celebration. Hooray, the lost son, the lost coin, the lost sheep is found, and we are celebrating. But this parable goes on further, and this is what I want to focus on. So it goes on to say, now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked, what do these things mean? And he said to him, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out. Now remember, the father goes out looking for every lost son. In this moment, the elder son was a little lost and the father goes out to meet him. Okay, whenever you're feeling like you're a little lost, you're a little out of it, the father always initiates that action. He always comes looking after us. He says, look, these many years I have served you and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might go and celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, this shameless, arrogant son of yours who blew up your inheritance comes back, you receive him with a fattened calf. The son said, you killed the fattened calf for him? And that was the whole tension in this story, okay? The title of my message today is Come Join the Party. Okay? Tell your neighbor, come join the party. In the Bible, about 6 times just in the Gospels, it says that the last will be first and the first will be last. That is a principle in the kingdom. And for some reason, when the last are being rewarded, you have to watch. Has it ever happened to you that you are either in your workplace or in your family or in the church, that somebody who's come after you, who is less deserving than you, gets the accolades, gets the recognition, gets the promotion? Has it ever happened to you? Do you think that is something that you see in the kingdom? I mean, church, Colin spoke about it, and I want to stress on it too. Church, your local church is the physical manifestation of the house of God. Okay? So, has it happened to you in church? Has it happened to you in your workplace? And it does. And what happens is all these blessings that come on people. And over again in the Bible, it has so happened that when a brother was blessed, the other brother got jealous. Something happened in their heart that brought their own destruction. Think about it. Cain and Abel, Joseph and his brothers, Saul and David, they were supposed to celebrate in the blessing and the victory of their brothers, and instead they were taken over by envy and jealousy and hatred and really a spirit of murder. And I believe that this is a season for us of blessings, and this is a season of revelation. And the Bible says that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Something like envy comes into our hearts, it plants itself there and defiles us. It destroys our fruit, the fruit of our labor, and it drives away the most devastating thing that it can do. It drives us away from the presence of God. And I don't want to get into all of that. I can give you scriptural basis for that, but that is what envy does. Okay, that is what this thing does. But I believe the father's response in this story can be a key for us to keep our hearts pure before God. What does the father say? Let's go back to that verse 32. Luke 15, verse 32. Look at it carefully. And the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this, your brother, who? Your brother, okay, not your son or my son, he says, but your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. So it's fitting that we celebrate what's happening to him right now, okay? There are 3 things that I want to talk about today, 3 points, and if we just remember this and incorporate it in our lives, I believe that it can protect us from envy. And now, it might not have happened in your life or in this church for you right now, but I believe that there is a prophetic angle to this message this morning, because if it hasn't happened to you yet, it's gonna. Okay? So, because people are going to come in, we've been praying for mature sons and daughters of God to come into the church. We have been praying for people who are lost, the lost children of God to return. We prayed for prodigal sons and daughters to return, and that is going to happen. And when they come, hey, we're going to have a party. Okay, it's going to be a party, and we better sort out our hearts before they come in so that we do not respond in envy and jealousy. Is that a reasonable expectation? Yeah. So three things. Firstly, he talks about his position, possession, and participation. Okay, position, possession, and participation. Firstly, he says, Son, you are always with me. The Father reaffirms the son that he is a son in this house. Have you guys seen the movie Lion King? The best. Okay, Holy Spirit has directed that movie. I love the Lion King. But do you remember that scene when Simba kind of loses himself and then the monkey goes to him and he says, I can show you your father. And then the father appears in the sky and he says, Son, you have forgotten who you are, and so you have forgotten me. Okay? He says, you have forgotten that you are a son or a daughter of this house, and you're behaving like the servants of this house. A king has both sons and servants in the same house. But how do you distinguish between the two? First thing, a son stays in the house for the name that he inherits. The name that we inherit is Christ. We are called Christians, right? So the name that we inherit is the name of Christ. And his name is higher than even the angels and every other name, right? So that is the name that we inherit. So a son stays for the name, whereas a servant stays for his gain. Okay? Servant stays for what he can gain. He earns his wages. He works hard. He gets wages out of it. But if you are here for the title or nice sermons or worship or what you can gain out of this place, then you have demoted yourself from the position of a son to the position of a servant. Who do you want to be in this house? Who do you want to be in the house of God? Do you want to be a son or do you want to be a servant? If you are here for what you can gain out of this place only, okay, we do gain. I mean, God is so good. He blesses us no matter what, yeah? But if you're here for what you can gain out of this place only, then you are functioning as a servant in your own father's house. That's not good, is it? Another thing, another distinction between a son and a servant is that a son and a servant both live in the same atmosphere, but they have different access. He's here, the father is saying, you are always with me. This witness, Manish spoke to us last week about how we can walk with God. This witness with God is a very intimate place of relationship. In my house, we have a maid, and she's very demure. She just likes to come do her work and leave. And whenever, whichever room my father is in, she would go and run to my mother and say, is he there? Is he in that room? And then if she says, no, he's not there, he's somewhere else, then she'll go quickly finish her job and go away. Whereas when I come home, I say, is he there? And then if he's there, then I will enter the room. Do you see the difference? Yeah, a servant is entering the room just to do their business, earn their wages, you know, lost in their function, instead of saying, hey, I have a relationship here. Are you here for a function, to fulfill a function, or to fulfill your relationship, to be satisfied in the joy of the Father? That is what distinguishes a servant and a son. So I want to ask again, in a king's house, there are both sons and servants. Do you know which one you are? Okay, so for each of these points, I have an action point. And for this, I would say, the action point is go to your brother or sister who offends you, because you're going to find intimacy with God in that place. Okay, the elder brother did not enter the house of his father. What kept him from going there? Is it because he was mad at his father? No, he was fine with his father. In fact, it seems as if he's taking up for the father and the father is not taking up for himself here, doesn't it? Yeah? So he says, no, why aren't you mad? Why aren't you more mad at him? Why aren't you punishing this guy? Instead, you are enabling his reckless behavior. But the father says, I have been longing for this guy to come back and he's finally back. Let's celebrate. Okay? So place of intimacy with your father is when you actually go and fix your relationship with a brother or sister who has offended you. Okay, number two, possession. The next sentence that he says, or the next part of the sentence is, son, you're always with me. All that is mine is yours. I don't want to really go into detail in this because Colin covered a lot of it. But basically to say that we work for our inheritance, okay? When we start becoming faithful in the things of God, we work hard and then we earn the wages, okay? But in the kingdom of God, we are sons and daughters, right? If you're a son and daughter, you're not working for wages. You have a great inheritance. And you can deserve your wages. You can never deserve your inheritance. Think about it. Who deserves, who earned your inheritance? It's your father or his father or his father or his father. Your ancestors, okay? You've not had to move a finger to earn your inheritance. But does that mean we do not serve? No, we do. We serve God and our brothers and sisters because we are sons and daughters. But we do not become sons and daughters because we serve well. You can never serve your way into becoming a son or a daughter of God, right? So what that means is, Colossians 3, 23, 24 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. We do not work for our inheritance. It is all by grace. We work hard by grace. We earn the reward by grace. We don't deserve our inheritance. We simply get it because we are sons and daughters. Okay? And a little note on this inheritance. What is this inheritance, you might be asking? And I want to point this out. This is the most fascinating phrase in the Bible for me. Ephesians 1:18, where Paul says, I pray that we may comprehend what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. For some reason, I don't understand this yet. I will understand it someday, I hope, because I'm seeking God, seeking from God for an explanation. But he says that our inheritance is in the saints. Our inheritance is held up in one another. God says we are treasures in jars of clay. There is a treasure inside your brother and sister that you inherit by being a part of that family. Okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are my treasure. You are my treasure. That's why we can enjoy one another, right? We can enjoy one another because our treasure is held up in them. Everything that they are, their maturity, their growth, their, you know, whatever blessings that are falling on them, they are our treasure. Our inheritance is held up in our brothers and sisters. So when you come to the house of God, understanding that this, a local church, is a physical manifestation of the house of God, right? Here, you own everything. All that is God's is ours. Okay, so those curtains are yours. These speakers are yours. The DLP is yours. Carpets are yours. Okay, all of this is yours. And do we have any businessmen in the congregation? Any business people? Okay, a few. Okay, these guys will agree when I say that when people working in the corporate complain about how difficult their life is, they'll be like, they don't even understand what difficult is, you know? Because when it's your name on the building, when it's your name on the company, you work so much harder, but you don't even realize it. You work days, nights, weeks, months without a break. When is the last time, Colin and Nawaz, you actually took a break? If you own something, the way you work for it is different. And I don't want to go into details, but that's basically what Colin was doing this morning. He's saying, guys, this is your house. Come and clean up. Come and set up. Okay? If you're a son or daughter of Word of Grace, commit yourself. Now, maybe you're just looking around. You could go to another church. But plug yourself into a house of God. Plug yourself into a local church. Commit yourself there. Don't be just floating around, because then you don't have the inheritance in the saints. Okay? Your inheritance is held up in your brothers and sisters. Go plug yourself in the house of God. And thirdly, participation. He says, it was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and he's now alive. Do you know when the father actually noticed the son? While he was still a far way away. Okay, while you were still far away. How do you notice somebody who's far away? If you're looking in that direction. The father was looking in that direction. When did the elder son notice the prodigal son? That's a trick question, because he didn't notice him. He didn't even see him in this entire story. He's not said hello to his younger brother, who everybody thought was dead. And he's now returned back alive. God expects us to participate. He said, this, your brother was dead. It's not my son. He's your brother. And God wants us to be a part of that, a part of that, because he wants us to share in his joy. Jesus said, I only do what I see my father doing. And what did he do? He healed the sick. He went to those who had no hope and he brought hope. There is this elder brother, another elder brother in the Bible. He, even before the father left his throne, he volunteered and left the throne of heaven. Okay, how far is heaven from earth, guys? How far is heaven from earth? He stepped down from the throne of heaven into a meager manger in the dirt. He became a baby, vulnerable. He lived a sinless life, and he lived for the joy and the pleasure of the Father. He revealed the Father in all that he did, and he brought the kingdom with him, right? And then he died on a cross, scorning its shame, for the joy that was set before him, the joy of the Father that he was now going to be a part of. So that now today, because of that, we say we can boldly walk into the presence of God in the robes of righteousness of Christ with the authority. Matthew 28:18 says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me and I give it to you. Okay, with the authority of God and with all the rights of sonship that we have been adopted as sons and daughters. Right? We come to God, adopted sons of daughters, fully righteous, and we say, Abba, Father, because of this elder son, this elder brother. So the question this morning is, which elder brother do you want to be? Who is there in your life who is still a far way away that you can run to, because the Father is longing for his sons and daughters to be restored back to him. The Father is expecting us to be a part of the reconciliation process. So which elder brother will you be? Can we all stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the words that you're saying to us this morning. We thank you that you are reaffirming our position in you as sons and daughters. We thank you for the great possession that we have in you. And we thank you that you're calling us into participation. This morning, if you are like the prodigal son, you don't know much about God, but you'd like to go back to where real life is, then I'd like for you to step forward. We want to be a part of the Father's joy. We want to pray for you. But on the other side, if you're saying that I have forgotten that I am a son in the house and not a servant, I want to give myself completely. I want to commit myself to this cause. I want to be a part of the pleasure of the Father. Then I'd invite you to come forward as well. If you're saying that I have forgotten what my possession is, I've forgotten the promises that God has made on my life, and just want to be reminded of those promises, just stretch out your hands to God right now and receive an affirmation of those promises. And if you're saying, I forgot that I'm a part of this family, I want to be a part of it. I want to keep looking out for the lost sons and daughters, and I want to be part of that reconciliation. Just hold your hands out as I ask God to come and fill us. Father, we want to do your will. We want to be in the pleasure of the Father, and we want to take part in his joy. We want to join the party in heaven. We want to be a part of that process. Thank you that you always go before us and you embrace your sons and daughters in whatever condition they're in. Thank you for reaffirming and reminding us of our destiny in you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, if there is something you feel like something is rattling inside of you, like something that I said or something that I referred to is like, oh, that's uncomfortable. A rattling is a sign of life. You know, when Ezekiel stands in front of the valley of the dry bones, he says, you know, the first thing that he hears is a rattling. The bones are coming together. There is life on this rattling that you feel right now. So invite God in that place. Don't push away conviction if it comes to you today. So Lord, we pray that you would make us pure in heart so that we can see you fully. Cleanse us of all uncleanness. Come and do what only you can do, Lord. Yeah. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.